Small businesses often embody the American dream. Work hard, learn continuously, and build something lasting. For many owners lately, the path to success feels steeper than it used to. That's why J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's leading small business bank, launched the American Dream Initiative to expand access to capital, advice, and tools for 10 million small businesses over the next several years. Built to support entrepreneurs at every stage, this program helps business owners overcome challenges and pursue growth because we know when our small businesses succeed, so do our communities. To learn how the American Dream Initiative can support your next step, visit jpmorganchase.com/small business. That's jpmorganchase.com/small business. JP Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Hey everyone, welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Today's bonus episode is brought to you by Chase for Business. And to learn more about how Chase for Business can help you plan for your business's long-term success, visit chase.com/national treasures. Okay, so I am so happy today to be joined by Paul Wheelwright. Now, Paul is the fifth generation in the Wheelwright family to hold the title of owner. So we're going to talk about preserving legacy while innovating for the future. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm very pleased to be here and can't thank Chase enough for giving us this recognition.
Your family story goes back all the way to a secondhand store in 1890. That is wild. So can you give us a quick history lesson about how Wheelwright Lumber began?
Sure. You bet. So they actually started down on Main Street in Ogden, Utah. They called it an earthenware store, which we would call a hardware store nowadays. But they sold basically everything out of that store, horse tack. They said they were the largest China dealer west of the Mississippi. But wow. They kind of just would whatever there was a need, they were willing to source a product and sell that. In the early 1900s, they moved up to a location that was kind of on the outskirts of town at that time, and started sawing lumber. They had their own sawmill. And in 1908, they incorporated what was Wheelwright Lumber and started doing business.
Well, that's fantastic. And what do you see as the through line from those earliest days to now about how this company is operated and how it runs?
So, you know, a company this old, luckily we have a lot of old pictures that I have displayed up and down the hallways. And also we have quite a few of the old journals from some of the former generations. And, you know, I look at those pictures and I read the journals and, you know, just have a great admiration for the way the former generations did business. They were all men of integrity and honest in their dealings. They were generous in their communities, and but probably the biggest thing is that I have noticed is that they always were looking to improve the business, and I think although I'm getting towards the end of my career, I think that I've done, I've looked at that and tried to carry that tradition on by thinking of ways that we can do our business better and serve our customers better. But yeah, I think that they kind of laid the groundwork for me, and yeah, I've learned a lot from the past generations.
That's fantastic. I want to ask you about that. You know, when you have a 100-plus-year-old company, is this balance, you know, this is the way we've always done things. This is what we're known for, but we want to experiment a little and we want to take some calculated risks. So how do you balance that?
The Wheelwrights were always very conservative in their dealings, that they would only do things that they could afford to do. But they were always reinvesting into the company. I mean, over the years, watching other businesses and business owners, the temptation is always to take the money and buy yourself a new boat or a second home or something like that. But they always took a certain amount of the profits and put it back into the company. And so I think, although I don't believe, at least according to my father, I've been as conservative as some of the former generations, but I still use that same philosophy. A lot of our profits are always just put back into the company. And my great uncle, who I got to work with as a young kid, he used to say a company is always growing or it's going backwards, and you have to decide how you want to do business. Mm. And so I've always taken that opinion that you need to keep the company growing.
Well, I wonder how, as you are planning and expanding and doing different things, and you want to do it in a way that's responsible, how has Chase for Business helped you in making those kinds of moves?
So Chase has been a huge partner of ours. We have dealt with Chase as long as I can remember. But probably the biggest thing that Chase has helped me with it was when I decided to build this new location that we're at currently. Our store, it was like I said, they started out on the outskirts of town, but over the years it had basically, you had a lumber yard in the middle of a residential area, and it was just a little over 2 acres. And we made it work, but I had kind of realized that we had outgrown the facility and the neighborhood. Ogden City was great with us, but we really needed to be more into an industrial area. So in the early 2000s, I started looking for property and was able to locate a 6.5 acre piece of property out in West Ogden. And when I bought that property, the lumberyard was doing well, but we didn't have the extra cash just to buy it. So I went in and Chase helped me with the financing to buy the property. I spent the next several years just kind of envisioning what I wanted to do on this location as far as the store layout and the way the yard would lay out, and finally got to the point where I had some plans drawn and got bids, came up with a budget for the building, and then went and met with our local branch manager, Chase, Bruce Shepard, just a great guy, and presented it all to him. Chase looked it all over and got us approved for the loan. It was definitely the largest loan the lumberyard had ever taken out. Chase helped us through that whole process, the building. It got built, and we moved in August of 2004. I attribute a lot of our success to them believing that we could pull this off.
That's fantastic. And it makes me wonder too, like, you know, making a big move, it must be a little bit nerve-wracking. And I wonder if, you know, as you described, you brought the plans in and they like what they saw and they approved it. That's got to give you a little bit of confidence about what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of remember Bruce telling me, he says, well, if you just continue on with the business you're doing now, you can afford this, which gave me some peace of mind. Because relocating a store, I of course had Googled and read all the horror stories about relocating and the number of businesses that fell after relocation. And Bruce, like I said, just a great guy, and I leaned on him a little bit, I guess, for emotional or mental support. And he was just awesome. Yeah,
that's great. Small businesses often embody the American dream: work hard, learn continuously, and build something lasting. For many owners lately, the path to success feels steeper than it used to. That's why J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's leading small business bank, launched the American Dream Initiative to expand access to capital, advice, and tools for 10 million small businesses over the next several years. Built to support entrepreneurs at every stage, this program helps business owners overcome challenges and pursue growth, because we know when our small businesses succeed, so do our communities. To learn how the American Dream Initiative can support your next step, visit jpmorganchase.com/small business. That's jpmorganchase.com/small business. JP Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. So you mentioned, maybe starting to think about I don't know if retiring is the right word, or stepping away from leadership. What conversations are you having about, you know, succession and your family?
Just to give a little history, the Wheelwrights don't seem to ever retire. There's only one way out for them.
Got it.
And all the generations before that's kind of been the way it is. I would like to always be involved. My father, who I worked with my whole life, he worked right up to his passing at the age of 90, and he wasn't working a full day. He'd work a half day, and but he always made the comment that I'm so glad I didn't retire. That I just enjoy the business. I enjoy the interaction with the customers, with the employees, with the vendors. And he said, if I totally would have walked away, I don't know what I would have done. And so I plan on always being involved somewhat, but at some point at a lesser level than where I'm at right now. So I have a son, Trevor. He runs our accounting department. Much, much smarter than myself. He takes after his mother. So I've been coaching him up as far as the things that I do and the things that I think are important to monitor, to watch, and how to manage people. We've got several other managers, and I've kind of all put them all on notice that at some point I'm not going to be sitting in that chair every day. Mm-hmm. And there again, just spent a lot of time coaching them up, and I feel really good about where we're at. And I might get a little more golfing and skiing in the future.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I wonder, you know, when you talk about coaching your son up, is there anything specific that you remember, like something very important that you wanted him to understand that maybe he didn't understand at first why you did something a certain way and how you explained it?
What, one of the things at the lumberyard that I've always told people is that, there's going to be problems in the building business. It's just, there's going to be problems. And I've told and I've kind of drilled into all of the managers and my son is that when we run into those problems, it doesn't matter if it's our fault or the customer's fault. We need to take care of it. Mm. And it might not always be profitable, but our business is so based on relationships and future business that I think that's always that's been a good philosophy.
That's fantastic, and that leads me. I was going to ask you, but I think you just answered it. For other founders out there who are maybe in year one, but hope one day that they too will have a business that's lasted over a century. Do you think that's the most important thing that you just laid out there?
You know what, the customers are number one. I think the way you deal with your customers, my father, he kind of taught me also is to be out, be in the store, greet people. Always walk around with a smile on your face. It's amazing. A smile on your face doesn't cost anything, but the employees will pick up on that. And the employees are going to mimic a lot of your behaviors and the way you deal with people. And I think that, whatever you can do to keep the customers happy and coming back, that's the number one priority.
That's great. And as you mentioned, the building industry, we all see the news, things go up and down with costs and who's building and who's not building. But how do you navigate through those times where you're feeling a little bit pinched without panicking?
One of my philosophies is during the good times, build up a war chest, have a nice reserve because, I think all businesses are this way, that we go through cycles of the highs and the lows. And during the highs, it seems like things are going to be good forever. I've been through probably at least four cycles that were the lows, and probably about four cycles that were in the highs. When I very first started working full time at the lumberyard during college. The lumberyard, it was during the bank and loans housing crisis in the early late 70s, early 80s, and the lumberyard was in really difficult financial situation. And I wasn't in management at that time. I was out delivering lumber and pulling orders, and but I learned a lot watching what my father and his cousins had gone through, and that was kind of something I thought that you've got to save up and prepare for the bad times. They're no fun when things turn down, but knowing that you've got the financing to fall back on and get you to the good times, because the good times always come back.
That's great. I love that. And then finally, you know, you mentioned that you've got these photos up and you're looking through these old journals. If there's something that if you could have a conversation with some of the people in these images that maybe you never got to talk to, what would you say to them about the business?
Well, so my father, who passed away 3 years ago, he used to at this new location, which he was just amazed at how well things worked out at this place. But he used to say, if Thomas Wheelwright, our founder, he founded it with his brother Solomon. But he always said, if Thomas could show up and walk out in this yard, he says his jaw would just drop. He would just be amazed. I would just love to sit down and listen to the stories from them. I could share plenty of stories about now, how things are going. But the biggest thing is I would love to sit down. And my grandfather, I never knew. My grandfather passed away before I was born. And so I never met my great-grandfather or my grandfather. But I would love to sit down and talk.
Well, Paul, what an amazing business. What an amazing story for Wheelwright Lumber. Thank you so much for sharing it. This has been really cool.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been awesome. And thank you to Chase again.
And to learn more about how Chase for Business can help you plan for your business's long-term success, you can visit chase.com/national treasures. Small businesses often embody the American dream. Work hard, learn continuously, and build something lasting. For many owners lately, the path to success feels steeper than it used to. That's why J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's leading small business bank, launched the American Dream Initiative to expand access to capital, advice, and tools for 10 million small businesses over the next several years. Built to support entrepreneurs at every stage, this program helps business owners overcome challenges and pursue growth, because we know when our small businesses succeed, so do our communities. To learn how the American Dream Initiative can support your next step, visit jpmorganchase.com/small business. That's jpmorganchase.com/small business. JP Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC.